Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you're with us here. I'm Brad. He's Brit. And my little dog is down there.
Oh,
doing a nice job.
Nice. The old T-Man getting it done.
Mr. T-Berry. Let's get right to it here. No fiddling and diddling. No personal business here right now. Here you go. Eric Carmen was a Trumper.
Oh, boy.
In other words, the topic will be, of course, artists we like who then we find out turned out to be Trumpers. It's an interesting category.
It is.
Another Texas family values Republican goes to the big house.
Oh, no.
A tear for Katie Britt.
Oh, no.
Don Jr. admits he's stupid. Boeing, WTF, and new annoying North Carolina poll results.
Let's do Eric Carmen, the Cleveland legend, ladies and gentlemen, dying. They announced that today, and disturbing news.
All right. We don't have to tell you who Eric Carmen is, of course. He had a lot of hit records. He was lead singer for the Raspberries, Go All the Way, and All by Myself, and Hungry Eyes, in that fucking annoying movie, Dirty Dancing.
Thank you.
We know the whole thing. We got his, and the songs got redone. I love it. I saw one, I can't remember whether it was on CNN or NBC, that was it All by Myself that Celine Dion remade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they go, which really became a big hit when Celine Dion covered it.
Yeah, it was a piece of shit. It was a big stiff until she got a hold of it.
Right. All right, so Eric Carmen. I mean, the last 20 years, he's not been exactly a fountain of production. But so what? You know what? He did it. He got it done. But today, upon posting a nice little ditty about him, our friend Bryant Williams dug up. Unfairly. No, he found or was aware of a story that had been written 5 years ago by Roger Friedman of Showbiz 411. So this is 2019. And it reads like this. Buried deep in Ohio, Donald Trump has a former rock star as a major supporter. Eric Carmen, lead singer of the Raspberries in the 70s, has outed himself as a Trump backer. Imagine everyone's surprise when Eric Carmen declared his fealty to Trump in the last week or so. So this is a late 2019. He's a hardline conservative decrying socialism a la Trump and retweeting people like Fox News' Jesse Waters, Zeb Gorka, and Charlie Kirk. He tweeted, if you want to hate me, just know this. I love the USA. I support our brave military men and women. I support the police and firefighters. I support our president and the first lady. I believe in civility, and I don't want to live in a socialist country. That is what I believe. In another tweet, he said, there's no excuse for the kind of sick disrespect lodged at the first lady who is speaking about the opioid problem while the president donated his salary to the fight against opioid addiction. Remember that whole thing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was also against the impending impeachment at the time and supported the Republicans who were on the House committee. Nobody has any proof that Jim Jordan did anything wrong. All I know is what I saw during the impeachment nonsense. Jordan was a voice of sanity along with Devin Nunes. He also went back and forth with Peter Frampton. I love your music, Pete, but I'd never presume to tell you or anyone else what network they should watch. I respect your right to disagree with me, and you should respect my right to disagree with you. That's the way things used to work here in the USA. Remember, Britt, maybe you're not old enough to remember when we all respected each other's views and there was no contentious back. It wasn't that long ago, Britt. I know you don't remember, but Eric Carmen does.
Was that before or after Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan gave each other tongue baths?
Oh, that was like a ceasefire.
Oh, okay.
It was like a ceasefire.
I always forget.
All right, so it's been 5 years, and I haven't seen anything else written since then, because I was looking to see if anybody else mentioned it. And it got a brief mention here or there that he was a Trump guy. But there's no evidence that he maybe changed his mind or after January 6th maybe decided, maybe I've been betting on the wrong horse or any of that. So it looks like he died in his sleep at peace with the idea that Donald Trump would soon be the president again and all would be well in America, and we would escape the socialist nightmare that we're living through right now with Joe Biden as president. I mean, I know, I don't know, but for me, in the last 3 hours since I learned about this, suddenly it's harder for me to listen to some really great, I mean, fucking Go All the Way is such
a great song.
I mean, it just broke through in a way, and it still sounds great.
But now I shit on it. Rick Derringer is a Cleveland legend. It takes precedence now over Eric Carmen. Who else? Trent Reznor, I think, of Nine Inch Nails, originally from Cleveland, Ohio. He now passes Eric Carmen. Anybody now passes Eric Carmen.
How about Sonny Gerace of The Outsiders and Climax, Precious and Few? How about
100%.
Okay.
Michael Stanley, the late Michael Stanley.
Michael Stanley.
By God, Eric Carmen could not tie Michael Stanley's shoes. By God. What about those when you're talking about people whose love of Trump kind of sours you on them? What about those assholes in Journey, particularly Jonathan Cain, but also Neil Sean, who have turned into right-wing assholes?
I didn't know.
I think they played at Trump events at Mar-a-Lago.
I mean, are we wrong to not be able to separate an artist's politics? It's not as if he was out there campaigning for him, or he didn't pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago. And you know, it's early in the day. Trump hasn't had a chance to weigh in on this once somebody tells him. Who? I like Eric Carmen because he's like
who.
Me.
I don't know who that is. And right. There's no fucking way that Donald Trump knows who Eric Carmen is just spontaneously. There's just no way. I refuse to believe it.
Right.
No, you can't separate the artist from the art because their choices that have to be made. You made the choice. You're a dick. Even some of these right-wing guys that are kind of leaning that way, like your Tim Allens, they've kind of sort of been able to keep their mouth shut about some of this stuff, even though they're anti-woke and all this other shit.
Yeah, no, he made his bed already. It's too late for him. Way, way too late.
I'm sorry, Eric Carmen. That's just disgusting. Pathetic, awful, ugly, nasty. Get out of here.
But the sheer ignorance of that statement. I support our brave military men and women. Does that mean that people who aren't Trumpers don't?
Oh, of course.
I support the police and firefighters. Britt, do you hate the police and the firefighters like I do?
Well, not only that, I think the people who are on the right who go with the self-righteous stuff about child trafficking, it means they care about the kids being trafficked, and you don't. I don't know why you don't, but you don't. And they do so much that they'll make up shit about how many kids are being trafficked.
Eric Carmen doesn't want or didn't want to live in a socialist country. Do you?
I don't either. Never wanted to.
I mean, this is like a living or formerly living version, more famous than the people you see get interviewed at Trump rallies, who are all dressed up in the Trump outfits and the flag and the three-cornered hats. And the, I want to live in a socialist country. Trump, Trump, Trump.
There's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people, you get these stories all the time, like, I totally lost a family member because of this. Like, you get these stories, like, all the time. I know that a guy, I went to, my roommate in college, Brian, his father literally died because he got COVID and he would not get the vaccine because of the shit that was fed to him through Fox News. Literally, he was told not to get this vaccine and all the skepticism and all that shit. He didn't get the vaccine and the guy died a few years ago. I mean, this shit happens all the time.
Yeah. You know, I started a couple days ago doing something on my Facebook page, something I like to call the whatever today's date is edition of Are You Better Off Than You Were 4 Years Ago? I mean, exactly 4 years ago. So, for instance, yesterday,
March 11th, 2020. Yeah.
Things that happened on that date, and I list them. They included on that day the NBA canceling its season. Remember that?
I do remember.
It was the day that Tom Hanks announced he had COVID. Remember that?
Yeah. Wait a minute, hang on. You got to go back to the first one. I love the NBA canceling their season. I hate basketball. Fuck them.
Stock market dropped 1,200 points that day in the Dow Jones.
No, that's not good. That's a lot of points.
So in less than a month, it had dropped 20%.
Oh, God.
But keep in mind, if Biden had been president, it would have dropped 50%.
Maybe a gazillion.
Right.
Maybe a gazillion percent.
And on that day, a couple days ago, they printed a little graph. And to this day, to today, not 20, we're up to like February, March of 2024, the cumulative death rates of people from COVID, because now you have a long time, you have the big number, you can figure out who is who, what is what, where is where. And the number of people who are Republicans who are eligible for the vaccine is about, it's about double percentage wise of Democrats. So everything that you thought about people who were resistant to the vaccine, didn't want to get, to this day, 30% of self-identified Republicans have not received a single COVID shot. Less than 10% of Democrats. I'm disappointed in the Democrats, but it's still less than 10% of them. Yeah. And it's over 30% of Republicans. So the great thing about this, Brit, is as far out into the future as you can see, as people continue to get COVID and die, because right, and people still get it, and people still die from it, it'll be skewed Republican. So that's good for Democratic electoral chances. Up and down the ballot, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Gotta be.
You want to talk about
suppressing the vote? How about that? How about suppressing the vote that way?
Yeah. Well, the station, like in states that have particularly elderly skewing populations, like Florida, which would be nice for, you know, a Democrat to win Florida again, they're probably going to die off at a much higher rate, I would think.
Yeah, they got it. There's so damn many of them. It's going to take.
There are.
It's going to take away. And Britt, you forgot. You're supposed to lie and say Florida had the best response and the fewest number of deaths of any state. Ron DeSantis did a great job. You forgot to say that.
That shithead director of health services or the state surgeon general, whatever that guy is, and they've had the measles.
Dr. Joseph Ladapo.
Oh, that guy. He's a fucking loser. That guy, they got the measles outbreak, and he's still, you know, he's still like not really responding to it. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about here. It's the Kevin Bacon role in Animal House. All is well. It's just pathetic.
Yeah.
Just fucking pathetic.
So, which all started with us talking about Eric Carmen. I have to ask you the radio question about this. Are we going to ban his songs from our playlist?
Well, that is important. As radio, you know, has more people listening than there are watching broadcast television. So radio has never been more important than it is right now in 2024.
But what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
If I never hear another Eric Carmen song the rest of my life, that'll be perfectly fine. And by the way, Ted Nugent was always a piece of shit child molester anyway. So if he would have gone any other way than Trump, we would have been completely, I mean, it would have been, you heard those stories about him. He tried to get those women, young girls, to have their families sign off to make him the guardian so we could take him on tour. That's been 47 years ago.
Yeah. It just occurred to me. You know what's going to happen?
What's that?
Raspberry song or Eric Carmen song going to be played at Trump rallies now. So far, it has not. I'm sure it hasn't been a part of it. I can just see it now.
That's my great supporter, Eric Carmen. He's dead. We loved him. We love Eric Carmen.
Right. Right.
So good. And
another reason to play it is, of course, that's somebody who can't object to their song being played.
Well, I mean, the estate would still be able to, in theory, but they're not. So,
well, but they wouldn't because he was a fan.
He's their guy. That's your boy.
He was a fan of mine. I'm a fan of his. All right. Now,
before her fame completely leaves us, let's do check on Katie Britt, the junior senator from the great state of Alabama, who was a national punching bag for a few days. Now she's starting to wane and leave the stage as far as being the national punching bag, but she's still trying to redeem herself in some way, shape, or form.
Well, when you're Republican and you do something stupid or something bad happens to you, you self-own yourself by being an idiot.
Yeah.
What do? You fundraise off of it, right?
Yeah, right.
Because, of course, you suddenly become a victim, and that's what Katie Britt is doing. And by the way, I think you're right. Scarlett Johansson could get an Emmy. She could get an Emmy for that performance. Get
it. And see, she doesn't get the recognition that some of her peers do, like Emma Stone, who won an Academy Award, rightfully so, the other night.
Completely overrated. And by the way, can't even keep her fucking dress on. What the hell is that kind of shit?
Exactly.
What is that?
No. Scarlett Johansson, in addition to being just drop dead gorgeous, happens to be a really good actress, as it turns out.
My heart is broken, not just for myself. Tell me if you hear any reminiscence of Donald Trump in the statement that she makes. My heart is broken, not just for myself, but for my children, your children, and the entire next generation of Americans. All right, full stop here for a second. Let's get this straight. She comes out and gives arguably one of the, if not the worst, State of the Union responses ever. And that's hard to do because some of them have really been bad, from Bobby Jindal to Marco Rubio to Michelle Bachmann. Oh, my God.
Bachmann was terrible. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. All right. But so her heart's broken not just for herself, but for the entire next generation of Americans. We all suffer. Our children, our grand, are suffering because of that. Because what? I didn't prepare a 20-minute speech and stand up to Biden in front of Americans for me? I didn't do that. No, I did it for them, for posterity, for you and your children, friend. Then she played the full Trump rhetorical trick and claimed the attacks were aimed at her, but they really were meant for her supporters, and she was just absorbing the blows. Oh, I ate it up and spit it out. Friend, they weren't just laughing at me. They're laughing at every single American who dares to stand up to their radical agenda.
No.
Every patriot who fights to defend their American dream because they can't handle the truth. The truth about their failed leader. I swear this is real. I didn't make that up.
When Johnny shits his pants in front of the auditorium, I'm not laughing at the entire auditorium. I'm laughing at Johnny who just shit his pants. You shit your pants. And then they've been getting on to her and fact checking her that stupid story that she told about the child trafficking or whatever it was. Yeah. And then it had nothing to do with Joe Biden. It was nothing that Joe Biden ever did. It happened 20 years ago.
That's irrelevant. The facts are irrelevant, Britt. You know that.
Of course. Here's what would happen in normal America. By the way, do you remember when Michelle Bachmann did it? Those were the good old days when you had a State of the Union, then a Republican response, and then a Tea Party response. You actually had two responses to the State of the Union because the Republican response wasn't going to do it. That wasn't going to get it. Here's what happens. Here's what would happen because they have these resources. You say to this woman, you say, you won the lottery. You're going to get to do this. You're going to be on international television forever and ever to deliver this thing. And then they would set you up with somebody who is a media professional who has done shit like this to give you some idea of what you should say and how you should say it. They don't just all of a sudden throw up an iPhone, you get in front of it and go, hey, are my teeth okay? No, there's supposed to be like some sort of coordination and choreography through this thing. That's what would normally happen in any other situation where you have a politician at this level doing something like that. I guarantee you, during the Trump administration, when they would do stuff like that and the Democrats would respond, they have media professionals that coordinate this thing, do it like this, don't do this, don't point to your thing, don't scratch your nose, don't do this. This is how it normally would work. Not these clowns, not these dumbasses. They're doing the eighth grade production of Our Town.
Well, but I think you have to be stupid to not think that this was a case where the coach looked down the bench and every player waved them off. I don't want to go into this game. We're getting killed. Right. I don't want to be a part of this game. So they're now down to like the last player on the bench, and it's her, Katie Britt, right? A complete no-name to America. And they're able to talk her into it by – apparently she doesn't know this, doesn't remember it, doesn't realize that it's a lie. That this is going to give you the kind of exposure.
Right.
And put you on the national map and could even put you in a position where Donald Trump, if he likes it, because remember, you're only doing this for the audience of one.
Right.
You have to always remember that about every Republican who speaks in public, whether it's at the senatorial level, whether it's at the gubernatorial level, whether it's in your city council, they're all talking with the idea that Trump or a Trump stand-in is listening to them. So when you go back and look at what she said and overacted and was terrible, that was all directed at pulling Donald Trump's heartstrings. And, you know, in her case, if she would have just shut her mouth and sat there for 20 minutes, I think Trump would have just, I think he would have gone for her, don't you think? I mean, she's a very attractive young woman.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, I don't know what, do you think she's Trump's type? That's the question. That's the most important question.
She has a vagina and she's living. So I'm going to go with yes on that. But now she's dead. Because she's been a national like disgrace for a week now, 5 days. So now she's dead meat, right? He wouldn't touch her. She's damaged goods.
No. She's not going to be the vice president.
It's over now. I mean, it's done, save done. You're out. I mean, and then she, you know, she tries to redeem herself on Fox News and they even kill her on Fox News. I mean, how bad is this, honey? You just got to go away.
Britt, come on, let's send her $5.
Why can't you do? You should do cameos like Santos is doing, and just do like your crazy, Mr. President, stop it now, or whatever that breathy shit she was doing was.
You think she was trying to almost do Marilyn Monroe singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President" to Kennedy, where? That's what Marilyn Monroe sounded like, but that's what she actually sounded like.
Somebody was saying it was between a Lifetime movie and like softcore porn. Some of those Skinamax flicks with Shannon Tweed. I mean, I know you don't know who that is, but
no, I don't know, Britt. Tell me, Britt. Thank you, because I wouldn't know something like that, because that's not the kind of literature that I ever trafficked in.
Nobody was up at 2 o'clock in the morning scanning the channels, having happy time. North Carolina poll results break my heart.
Britt, I knew Shannon Tweed intimately while you were in elementary school. I can guarantee
you. I'm sure you did. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah. What would you like here?
North Carolina poll results.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. WRAL.
Big Five.
Trump's got a 5-point lead statewide over Biden. 5% are undecided.
It's not bad.
And so, you've never heard this before either. Just like I've never heard of Shannon Tweed. You know, it's going to depend on turnout.
You think so? You think this is going to be a turnout election? Let me write that down. It sounds like a Steve Martin from The Jerk. Oh, so it's one of those profit deals, eh?
Trump led by 10 points among people who said they're certain to vote, but Biden had an even larger 12-point lead among people who said they'd probably vote, but weren't certain. So if you can get them to turn out, well, there you go. 60% of Republicans said they were fine with a Trump-Biden rematch. 60%, but 67% of Democrats and 71% of independents said they wished for different candidates.
Hey, I'll say,
and I'm not even, by the way, I'm not even sure whether that's the same question. Are you okay with a Biden Trump rematch? And another question, do you wish for different candidates? It's not exactly the same.
No, but it's
question,
like,
but they're acting like it is, I guess. So
I'm okay with, I'll say it. I'm not okay with a Biden Trump rematch, but God, that's what we got. So I'm okay. I know which way I'm going to go. I'm not really fretting over it. I don't have any.
You know, this is like, and I know this is during the Shannon Tweed era. there would be some combination every week on the NBA game of the week of the Celtics,
yeah,
the Lakers,
yeah,
and the Knicks,
yeah.
Those three. That's it. Three teams in the NBA. That's all. And if you were sick of them, you know what you would say? I'm sick of these teams, but I'd watch the game anyway. How it was.
We can fantasize. Oh, I wish they would have been able to reincarnate John Kennedy and have him on the ticket. No, and I don't mean the shithead senator from Louisiana. I mean John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Yes, I wish that they were able. I wish Obama could go for a third term. That's not going to happen. This is adulthood. This is reality. This is what you have. And it's a very clear choice. And to me, it's not a hard one.
All right, let's dig in a little bit further here. As you know, Donald Trump's 77, Joe Biden's 81. They're tied among likely voters 50 and up, like us.
Yeah.
But Trump tied. So you know where this is going. Trump had a substantial 54 to 42 lead of people under 50.
I don't get that.
And even had a 52% take of young voters, 18 to 34. Trump, the young people love him. They love the bling. Yeah. They love the aspiration. Yeah. They love it. See, so if that's true, if Trump wins that demographic, and that's a pretty broad one, under 50, then it doesn't look good. But you don't know. But Joe Biden still has the big lead in the gender gap among women. And so it's hard to really figure out how that all settles out. Again, got to go back. Going to depend on turnout. Who can turn out their voters?
You got those Josh Stein, Josh Stein, Mark Robinson numbers?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Right now, it's not even close. Unaffiliated voters prefer Josh Stein, 50 to 34. Those are unaffiliated voters. So you figure almost all the Democrats want Stein, all the Republicans. So if that's true, that's going to be a blowout.
I would like the names of registered Democratic voters who vote for fucking Mark Robinson.
Right.
Because they should never be allowed to be registered as a Democrat anywhere in the United States ever again.
Well, this is and this is great news. This is the best news out of all this that could have a major effect on the national results. Because as you know, the conventional wisdom now is that the Democrats, they don't want to say it, but they're about to wave bye-bye to Georgia. They think it might be hopeless.
Yeah.
But they're saying hello to North Carolina. And one of the reasons they get to say hello to North Carolina is because of the massive unpopularity of Mark Robinson.
Good. Good.
This is just, this is among moderates, 38% say they support Trump, but 25% say they support Robinson. So there's a 13-point gap.
God bless.
Between among self-described moderates. Remember, and that 38% who support Trump is way less than the total number of moderates who support Josh Stein. So it's very possible that come election day, there won't be that many people who make the difference distinguishing Mark Robinson from Trump. And they're going to say, I can't fucking vote for Robinson. He sucks. I'm voting for Josh Stein. Wait a minute. I'm going to vote for Josh Stein and Donald Trump. That's stupid. And I'm going to now vote for Biden also. So Mark Robinson has the potential of dragging down Trump.
That'd be the greatest thing ever. Please,
to throw it to Joe Biden.
Please, I would beg of anybody who's running the RNC convention this summer, please give Mark Robinson a spot in prime time. Please let him talk.
I don't
think
you have to do that. Please, I think that's a given.
Please let that happen. The more this motherfucker.
I think that's a given. And you know what? I think there's going to be a fight over that. Trump is going to absolutely want it.
Oh, please.
And of course, well, I take that back. If Lara Trump is running the Republican National Committee, I assume they're the ones that run the convention.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Trump runs the convention, so he's going to get to choose.
100%.
The speakers could be General Flynn.
Well, Elon Musk, Dana
Elon
White.
Musk.
Yeah, Dana White will be there. These people will all be there.
And, of course, Mark Robinson. And the problem with Georgia is Georgia doesn't have someone nearly as odious. In fact, no other state,
Nobody
49
does.
Other states,
no.
plus the District of Columbia, plus American Samoa, do not have
you can't.
Someone as repellent as Mark Robinson.
You can't name anyone in the past 5 years as a politician, like a serious politician who now is the nominee of their party for statewide election, who has said more bad stuff about African-Americans. By the way, he's African-American. Jews.
You know what?
Transgenders. Homosexuals. You can't find them. You can't name them.
You got to start digging back to people like Judge Roy Moore in Alabama.
Yeah, you're back to Roy Moore.
Pat Buchanan. Buchanan.
David Duke. Didn't David Duke run for governor or something?
I think he's run for senator.
He's a couple of statewide races.
He's too old now, but you're right. He did.
I mean, that's the level we're looking at. And in the week since Mark Robinson accepted the nomination, he won the nomination of the Republican Party for governor in this state. Thankfully, more and more and more and more and more and more and more national media are going, what the fuck is this freak show?
Oh, we're getting the spotlight. I think that jerk up in Pennsylvania who got blown out by Josh Shapiro Mastriano, he was pretty bad.
I think our shit is way worse than their shit. Nice try, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We got the sneakiest turd on the block. This big, huge, massive turd named Mark Robinson. And if he stinks up the whole ticket for the Republican Party, then good riddance. They deserve every bit of it. That would be the funniest shit in the history of humanity if somehow he throws down the ticket and holds it down and allows Joe Biden to win a very close race in North Carolina. That would be the funniest shit of all time. The other thing that when you mention Laura Trump is they have all of these stories that are coming out now that they are just cleaning house at the RNC since she took over. People who have been there for a while, who know about doing stuff, fuck you, you're gone, hit the bricks, right?
Well, that's part of installing a dictatorship.
Beauty.
You get party people who may have had some institutional knowledge of the past and tried to run things in whatever semblance of normalcy the Republican Party ever did run in. And I question this idea that this isn't the old Republican Party that we knew and loved. They've always sucked. Now, they've always sucked, but there was a degree of professionalism in the execution level of what they were doing. And you didn't question whether there was loyalty to Vladimir Putin at the party level. Now there is. And I'm not quite sure what kind of loyalty oath you're going to have to sign to become part of whatever it is the Republican National Committee does, which in this case, I guess it's raise money for Donald Trump's legal bills. That's exactly what they do. And by the way, if there's any change in your back pocket, you can throw it to that guy running for Senate in Missouri. He'll take it.
So if Donald Trump needs a little, or if somebody needs a little help, a candidate, say like North Carolina, something like that. No, I'm sorry. We had to spend that paying Donald's lawyers, the people who will actually agree to work for Donald Trump these days as a lawyer. So again, I'm all for that. This is all good news for Democrats and all good news for people who want democracy to prevail and continue in this country.
Apparently, I'm stupid. Donald Jr. defends his position on Russia. He got interviewed by, are you sitting down, former Democratic Representative Tulsi Gabbard.
That's great. Who's she working for these days? At News Nation, did they pass on her?
Apparently, I'm stupid. I'm a Putin apologist and a Russia lover, Don Jr. Basically, I work for them, according to the mainstream media.
Right.
Of course, Don Jr. defending his position against sending aid to Ukraine. And remember, we're more than 2 years into that particular war. And remember, the Trumps specialize in sarcasm, okay? So listen, liberals, when these words are said, they're not literal. You got to get the joke. You got to get the comedy. I'm a Russia lover because I don't feel we should spend $1 trillion in a war in Ukraine that we haven't articulated what victory looks like. Well, we haven't spent $1 trillion. But it's okay. The Trumps are in the business of exaggerating numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They always do that. So to them, $100 billion or $1 trillion, what's the difference, right? Yeah,
same thing.
He has his own show. I guess she interviewed him on his own show, and it's on the social media site Rumble. Rumble. You're a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, and yet I see TV pundits who've never served, who probably hate America. This is Don Jr., by the way, who's never served. No one in his family's ever served.
Not even
no one in his grandfather's generation ever served. Now, his great-great-grandfather, I believe, was probably a Confederate when he got here. They got off the boat from Germany and said, you know, where is Birmingham? I want to go there.
Good shot,
Jimmy. Yeah, but the idea that, and can I just say it this way? I could be wrong. When Trump loses, all the hangers-on whose livelihood and identity is tied to being associated with him, like his kids, they're fucked.
Yeah,
they're just dead.
What do you change your name to? Is he Donald Melman Jr.? Is he what does he become? what do you do?
Oh, you mean get the full thing of the plastic surgery? What's that called when you get a new identity and they put you somewhere? The witness protection witness program. Protection.
It's my new neighbor, Donald Melman. There he is. What are you? I was in the insurance business.
He sounds familiar.
He was in the insurance business over there in Wichita. many, many years. Now he's just retired over here to Scottsdale. Yeah, that's all he is. He's like the Ray Liotta character in Goodfellas. He just goes, retires there, goes out in his robe and grabs the paper every day. You can't really grab the paper every day because there's no paper to grab. But if there was one, he'd go out and grab it.
We're not ignoring what I saw this morning as one of the stupidest congressional hearings I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot because they are stupid. And whenever they came up with this format, that when you have a congressional hearing, whether it's the head of the Federal Reserve or a witness who's being invited in to testify about something, whoever came up with this idea that no matter how large the committee is, everybody gets their 5 minutes. So they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This was this Robert Hur guy, the guy who, the prosecutor who went into the tank on behalf of Trump, interviewed Biden, knew he didn't have enough evidence to charge him with anything because Biden really didn't do shit in comparison with Donald Trump as far as secret documents, government documents in his possession. In fact, the way I saw it was, number one, again, all whataboutism parking regulations on one side of the street have been suspended for this particular hearing. The Democrats, it was all whataboutism. What about Trump? And they actually brought a mashup video of Trump and his fuck-ups, his bloopers, bleepers, and foul-ups, just in case anybody wants to believe at all that because Robert Hur made a subjective judgment that the reason really that he wasn't going to indict and try to convict Joe Biden for crimes equally egregious to those of Donald Trump, which they weren't, is because he felt so that he's just an old man. And a jury would just look at him as this rattled old thing that did. He's just an old man who can't remember stuff, which should never have been in the report anyway. So the Democrats were beating him up for including that in the report. And they wanted whoever was seeing this at any given moment to be reminded of who the real person who is or has been in our government, who is on trial for three or four different things in three or four different venues, one of them being holding government documents in the bathroom, in the stateroom, in the living room, in the kitchen, everywhere, and then lying about it and trying to cover it up, none of which Joe Biden ever did. And the Republicans, they painted themselves into a corner because they couldn't get out of this. Because they had to go full hog because the whole impeachment thing against Joe Biden collapsed when they tried to use Hunter Biden. So they decided to go with this and bring this prosecutor in person. We'll get him in person. So they were beating him up because he didn't indict.
He didn't prosecute. They prosecutors prosecute.
He didn't prosecute enough. And so I don't feel sorry for this guy. But I will say, I hope this moment gets replayed a lot. But Eric Swalwell, congressman from California, knowing full well, and he's been a part of many of these things, and we talked about it earlier in this podcast, broadcast, whatever it is, that everyone who speaks in public, who's at all Republican, is always speaking only to Donald Trump, the famous audience of one. And it was brought up earlier. And then Swalwell elaborated on it and said to Robert Hur, who, by the way, has resigned as of today. He's not part of the Justice Department anymore. But he asked him directly, will you pledge right now to not even think about and not accept any position offered you by a prospective Donald Trump administration? In other words, we want you to at least say that whatever you're saying today isn't, even if it is, all about trying to appeal to Donald Trump to offer you the gig as Attorney General. And do you think that he said, of course, I'm not, I would never take a job, or I won't consider it, or you're right, Congressman Swalwell, the last thing I want is to be perceived as trying to campaign for a job in a future Trump administration. He waffled. He pretended that he didn't hear the question as it was asked, and he answered something else. So the answer to the actual question is, you betcha he'd take a job with Donald Trump. You betcha he would if Trump offered him Attorney General. But maybe he won't get offered to it because Trump might be mad at him, like all the other Republicans were, for not prosecuting Biden, who, of course, Trump and everyone else who's a Republican is falsely portraying as equal, if not worse, than Donald Trump, the man for whom the secret documents and all the government goodies may have already been given or handed off to Vladimir Putin, or maybe he's trading them right now for a couple $100 million to help pay off his debts. So the Republicans were coming at him, or Democrats were coming at him for completely different reasons. And it's so tedious to listen to these congressmen go back and forth, because after about the third one, they've said everything that really needs to be said. And you're just preening for yourself to make it appear as if you know something. So that was the great thing about the January 6th hearings, Britt, because remember, they just limited it to the 9 members that were there. You know, it wasn't 30 people going back and forth. You know, they coordinated what they were doing, but they don't do that for something like this. So they all come in and repeat themselves and ask the same questions and make the same observations over and over and over again. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, why don't you hit us with the bowling what the fuck, WTF?
Well, everybody has already heard most of the stuff in the last few weeks about Boeing. You know, you got the wheel falling off the plane, right? You got the door plug, which is the airline equivalent of the butt plug, right?
The butt plug.
You got to be in there. Got to be in there. It fell out. And so the New York Times yesterday goes hot and heavy with information about an audit that's just been done of Boeing. It was 6 weeks long, and they flunked, I believe, like 35 out of 89 different checks of different systems. At Spirit, which is this former subsidiary of Boeing that they spun off, and now they're bringing it back in so they can have the incompetence in-house once more. I don't know what else to say. Spirit, which builds a lot of the plane, makes a lot of the parts, helps assemble a lot of the plane, used Dawn liquid soap as lubricant while fitting a door seal.
Oh, my God.
Dawn, which is so, so stupid. Everybody knows you use Palmolive, the green stuff, right?
I think Marlon Brando used butter in that one movie, but that's... it's different.
And then they cleaned it off with cheesecloth. And in another situation, mechanics for Spirit used a hotel key card to check a door seal. I don't know. So if you couldn't get the key card in there,
oh my God,
then it was tightened up enough. The door was closing enough. Breaking, the seal was good enough.
Are we breaking into an apartment on McMillan and Wife? What is this?
Spirit, when asked about both incidents, told the New York Times it was, quote, reviewing all identified nonconformities for corrective action. God, I wish they'd not use such jargonistic horseshit. Boeing had nothing to say. So let me get the numbers right. It was 33 out of 89 that they flunked, right? So that's close to 40%. Boeing 33 out of 89, Spirit failed 7 out of 13, which is even a worse percentage. And the FAA is giving Boeing 90 days to submit a plan to fix the problems. Meantime, if you're flying in the next 90 days, relax. Boeing has your back,
but not your front.
Yeah. And the impossibility of this situation is there are only two companies on Earth that build airplanes.
Yeah.
The other one's in Europe, Airbus, and they're booked out 20 years. You couldn't buy one of their planes tomorrow or in the next 2 years if you wanted to, if you were United or American and you've been buying Boeing all these years. And it's a big deal to switch different brands. There's no choice. There's no third choice.
You know what I said, though? None of this started happening until Boeing moved to South Carolina. I think they opened that plant in South Carolina. That's when all these problems started.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly
that's a nonsense
connected to that, but you have a guy who worked at Boeing for 30 years, who quit 7 years ago. He became a whistleblower and went public 6 or 7 years ago with problems at Boeing.
Yeah.
And he was found dead yesterday.
Wow.
In Charleston. And the Charleston police say it was a self-inflicted wound. Of course it was.
How many times did he stab himself accidentally?
I mean, the guy was only 62.
He shot himself 3 times. And it was just an accident. Just one of those things.
Yeah. So this is becoming really, really a problem. I won't use the word problematic. I hate that word.
It feels like John Grisham, too. There's a little John Grisham situation there.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we leave off of here?
Texas Republican guy.
Oh, I can do this one. I can do this one pretty fast. Let me get this from the San Antonio Express News. Former official with Hays County, Texas Republican Party. He's been sentenced to more than 400 years in prison after pleading guilty to child sexual abuse and child porn charges.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Bo Michael Dresner, age 44, pleaded guilty to 65 counts of continuous sexual abuse of multiple children and possessing child pornography, not Shannon Tweed, with intent to promote, according to court records. He got consecutive 75-year sentences on each of the 4 counts. So that's one. So that's 300 years. And then they stacked another 10 to 20 years on the 61 child porno charges, and your total is 410 years.
Did you see the guy in Ohio, the Chick-fil-A owner who drove 400 miles to North Carolina, got charged with statutory?
No.
Yeah. The owner of a Chick-fil-A was arrested after authorities alleged he drove over 400 miles in North Carolina to have sex with a 15-year-old. Stacy, wait for it, Lee Austin, 49 years old, charged with statutory sexual offense with a child, according to the Rowan County Sheriff's Department. They responded to the home on a report of breaking and entering on Tuesday. When they arrived, the resident allegedly told police he found Austin with his 15-year-old son.
Well, there's one thing that we know for sure. This must have happened on a Sunday when he didn't have to be here.
That's the Lord's Day, you asshole.